Although, you know, I mean, as things are becoming very, well, let's just say, everything that seems to be going on over in the Middle East right now, right? I mean, it has caused a lot of discussion. And it's caused a lot of questions. And one of those questions that I hear people say a lot is, could this be the end? You know, they're like, could this be the end? Could it be? Could it be? Well, it sure seems to me that people are always, the powers to be or whatever, the people that yell the loudest or whatever it is, they always seem to be looking for the end to come. Now, I had someone ask me the other day about the end times and what we should be doing to prepare for the end times. Now, as I have thought about the end times, right, I've thought about this, and as I have thought about this person's question, and as I have once again searched the scripture, and what I believe more than anything, God wants us to continue to live for Him. To continue to live for Him, to continue to love others, to be watchful and be prepared to share the gospel with everyone you meet. When the end comes is when the end will come. Right? It won't happen a moment sooner, and it won't happen a moment later. When God says it is time, then it will be time. So I don't really get caught up, you know. There was a time when I got caught up in really studying the end time prophecies, and there were certain people that I would follow and I would watch and I would hang on their every word. But now, today, where I'm at in my walk with the Lord, I don't really get caught up in the end times and when that day will be. But I do think it is vitally important to be about God's business while here on earth until that day comes. It's vitally important. Whether that day is when I breathe my last, or whether it's the day that I hear the trumpet in the sky and I join Jesus in the clouds, right? Hebrews 10:25 says this: let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day that the Bible is talking about there is indeed the day when the church will be raptured into and the Holy Spirit will be withdrawn from this world. That day is going to be a very, very rough day for a lot of people who don't know Him. It's going to be a great day for me. But then, you know, you think about this, and it's kind of selfish that I want that day to happen very quickly, because I've got a lot of people around me that I believe are not saved. They would be here, and it will literally be hell on earth. Now, I don't know exactly where God's taking me in this sermon series. That's what it's going to become, a sermon series. I'm seeking God every week and exactly what He wants me to share. So, but for today, let me ask you just a few questions. Have you ever wondered about the end times? Everybody has, right? Everybody, every Christian has wondered about the end times. How do we discern truth from deception in a world that is filled with conflicting information? I mean, there is a lot of conflict in our world. There's a lot of conflict in religion, if you ask me. Okay? So how do we discern truth from deception in a world that is filled with conflicting information? Now, over the years, I have heard so many people look at the times we are in, you know, we are in right now, and they state the fact that the end of the world was going to happen. Have you ever researched that? Now, there's a long list, but let me just give you a few. Harold Camping. I don't know if you know that name, but he was an American Christian radio preacher, okay? He publicly predicted the end of the world multiple times. In 1992, he published a book predicting that the end would happen around 1994. His most publicized prediction was for May 21st, 2011, which he later revised to October 21st, 2011. Okay? 2012 doomsday prediction. The Mayan long count calendar cycle was ending on December 21st, 2012. It sparked widespread, I remember this, it sparked widespread speculation about the end of the world. Oh no, the calendar was ending. All you have to do is start at January 1st, right? I mean, truly. Truly, it's just the next day. There was St. Malachi's prophecy of the popes. This is one that's resurfaced as of late. His 900-year-old text outlined a list of 112 popes, with the final pope identified as Peter the Roman. This prophecy has resurfaced following the death of Pope Francis, sparking speculation that the end of the Catholic Church was coming. The destruction of Rome and the end of the world was coming right behind it. Now, church, there are so many more, but what I want you to see here is there are people who are not so concerned about the end and when it will come. And there are those who become overly fixated on the end. But where should the church be? Truly, I believe the Bible provides guidance and understanding about the end times. It does. But ultimately, we should focus on living faithfully and preparing our hearts for the day that we will meet Jesus. Amen? That could happen today for some of you. Or it could happen today for all of us. The reality is nothing stands in the way of God calling His church home. There's nothing that stands in the way. So to dig deeper into this question, what should the church be doing during these times that we're in? And let me tell you something, as I've talked, I get to talk to lots of different generations of people, and they were, you know what, their pastors were probably preaching the same thing. It's like, golly, you know, that generation before us thought it was going to be the end, right? And the generation after them is going to be the end, and everything else. So what does God want His church to be doing during this time? If you haven't turned, I want to read to you Matthew 24, 1 through 14. Says this: Jesus left the temple and was walking away when His disciples came up to Him to call His attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" He asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in My name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Now, so Jesus is with the disciples. They were leaving the temple, right? Now, no one knows exactly what this temple that they were walking out looked like, but I can, by the responses, we can see something, right? We know that King Herod of that day had helped the Jews remodel it and beautify it, okay? You know, as a king, he had to make everyone happy in the land, right? So he helped the Jews do this. And so Jesus is walking out of this beautiful place, this beautiful, massive structure that the disciples are obviously awestruck by its beauty. And Jesus says to them, "Do you see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." Now, a little later, the disciples had been contemplating this in their head, right? Contemplating what Jesus had just told them. And they come to Jesus and they ask him some questions, right? Now, Matthew doesn't record the answer, but Luke did. So Luke chapter 21, verses 20 through 24. "When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Now, church, I don't believe right now the focus is to get into all of that right now. I don't believe I need to get into all the history of this, but what I do think we need to see here is that the temple that Jesus walked out of, catch this, the temple that Jesus walked out of, that the people worshiped, was destroyed 40 years later in 70 AD. Not one stone left on another in that moment. Okay? Let's go back to Matthew. So the disciples asked, "When will this happen?" Right? "When will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" That was their questions to Jesus. Now, I find it interesting that the disciples were still asking this question when Jesus was ascending into heaven, right? They're still asking him the same question, more or less. Acts chapter 1, 6 through 9 says this, "So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight." Church, here's the thing. During all the years of Jesus' ministry here on earth, his disciples continually wondered about his kingdom. Constantly. They were all about, when would it come? When are you going to do this? When are you going to conquer all this and take names? When are you going to be the King of Kings? But they also asked, what would their role be when it happened? So church, what should the church be doing as we wait for the end to come? Jesus gives us the answers right here. The first thing that I want you to write down is this: watch out that no one deceives you. Okay? As the end is coming, and who knows when that will be. It could be in a day, it could be in 100 years. Okay? I'm not here to tell you that. I'm here to tell you what the church should be doing. Okay? And the first thing Jesus says right out of his mouth to the disciples is, watch out that no one deceives you. Okay? How good are you at not being deceived? Okay? We need to know the Word of God. We need to understand what His expectations are of us so that we will not be deceived, because there is a time. I believe we're in that time, personally, when there's a lot of pastors that are deceiving a whole lot of people. Wouldn't you agree? They're preaching prosperity and all these things. None of that is the Bible. Okay? We'll get to that in a little bit more here in a little bit. So the disciples asked Jesus for a sign of his coming and of the end of the age. And Jesus says, watch out that no one deceives you. Watch out that no one deceives you. As I've thought about Jesus' response, it is so vitally true to us, his followers, okay? The fact that the disciples were so adamant about the when, what, where, how is this going to happen? I mean, come on, tell us. It tells me something. It tells me that whenever we look for signs, we become very susceptible to being deceived. Very susceptible. When we want to look for signs, and there's people who are so consumed by that, so consumed. What happens is when we get so consumed with knowing the answers of the end, that we become very susceptible to being deceived. So church, there are many false prophets, Matthew 24, 11 and 24. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect. That's you and me, okay? That's you and me, that's Christians, the elect. If that were possible, the Bible says. If we remain in Christ, I don't believe it's possible. If we remain in Christ, okay? Now, Jesus' initial message to the disciple was for that day and what the disciples would go through, but it is also a message that didn't stop there. I mean, it applies to us today. I mean, because to the best of my knowledge, the church is still here. You know, the church is still here, so therefore the end has not come, okay? Evil is still here too, right? Evil seems to be getting worse and worse. We'll talk about that a little more in the days ahead. So it still applies to us today. Jesus is warning us, church. He is warning us about false teachers and false prophets and those who claim to be of Christ. Okay? To be Christ or to be of Christ. I've had several people come up to me and claim to be Jesus in my life. Has anybody else ever had that happen? Nobody? Woo! You're in for something. It'll probably happen. But I've had several people come up and claim they were Jesus. Now some of them were just so crazily off the wall. It's like, okay, come on, man. But two of them stick out in my mind that I can't get rid of. And the reason why I want to share this with you. One guy, I knew him, Okay, I knew him. I worked with him. He worked in Franklin, and it was a time when I was youth pastor in Franklin, and I was working alongside this guy. And what we were doing is we were trying to figure out a way to get kids involved in things. Well, long story short, not going to go into all that. But Tracy and I were eating at Applebee's one time, and we're just having a nice little dinner. And all of a sudden, this man comes up to me. His face and his demeanor looked completely different than all the times that I'd been with him. He started to make claims that he was Jesus. He had to get to Jerusalem, all these things. He started telling me all these different things that he was going to do. And of course, he knew me. I knew him. But you know what? I'm not going to bore you with all the details, but let's just say there was a telltale sign when someone's taking the Lord's name in vain, cussing and carrying on, they are not of God. Okay? However, there was another man that walked through the doors of this church and walked into my office and shut the door behind him. I'd never met him before. Never met this man before, but he knew my name, he knew who I was, he knew everything about me. Very interesting encounter. He showed up at the church, came into my office, shut the doors, and he started telling me all about my life. Telling me all about who I was in Jesus. He said, I know you, I know you, I know you got faith. I know that you would die for your faith and all these things. There was a crown of thorns. That crown of thorns right there was hanging in my office. I don't leave it there anymore. But he told me, he goes, you know what, you believe, but then you wear that crown of thorns. And I said, no. No, that's not for me to wear. That is a reminder for me of what my Savior did for me. He went on and on and on, and he finally left my office. But it left me very frazzled to some degree, but I felt the consuming of God the whole time in both these encounters. So I guess the beautiful thing is, if you're walking with the Lord, you don't have to fear the evil one, okay? You do not have to fear the evil one. But I will tell you this, there will come a time when you encounter someone who claims to be Jesus, okay? It's going to happen. But his actions did not line up with God's word. He was cussing and ranting, carrying on, wanting to engage in a battle with me. That wouldn't be Jesus. Those are the easy ones. Here's the thing, though. The reason why I share that with you, those are the easy ones to pick out. Okay, those are the easy ones to make sure we don't get deceived by. When somebody comes running into your office claiming to be Christ, cussing like a sailor, they're easy to pick off. When I read in the Bible Jesus' words, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many, I think a little differently these days. You see, I think a little differently these days. Don't get me wrong, there will be a day, okay? Like these two men came to me, where there will be those who claim to be Christ. There will be a day when the Antichrist will come. That's with a big capital A, meaning the one, Satan himself, the final world dictator. I'll talk to you more about that in the weeks ahead, who will lead the nations astray. Okay? He will begin his career as a peacemaker. Then he will dictate who you worship and whom you bow down to. Right? If you don't bow down to him, then you won't get the necessities in life. You won't. But all we need is Jesus. Amen? We don't fear because we have Jesus. Now, I think about our day right now today, though. What does God want from us today, the church today? And again, there's nothing that stands in the way of Jesus returning or the Antichrist rearing his ugly head of peace and promise and all these things, only to rip all of God's followers to shreds. Jesus says, watch out that no one deceives you. No one deceives you, for many will come in his name. Church, there are so many false Christians in our world today. There are so many false Christians that claim they have a relationship with God. Okay? They claim they have a relationship with God. They claim to be messengers of God's word. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. But they teach and they preach and they share, and what they share doesn't line up with Scripture, right? There's those people, those pastors out in our world today. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Check. Right? Lovers of money. Check, check. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Check, check, check. Right? Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them, church. This is a warning against the dangers of superficial religion. Now, I don't need to say names, but you should be able to identify them by what they preach and teach. Oh, don't get me wrong. They get close to teaching the right thing, but their words and their messages are deceptive. They're deceptive, and they lead you away from God and His truth. I got news for you, church. God is not writing a new Bible. He's not adding to the Bible. The word that you have in your hand is the word that He has given. And every law in there, every expectation of God is as it was then and it is today. I can guarantee you that. Oh, well, you know, God's word needs to get with the times. Give me a break. Maybe the times need to get with God's word. And yet Christians struggle with that because they're weak and they can't stand up against the craziness in our world. And just one last thing before I move on. The definition of Antichrist is a person or force seen as opposing Christ or the Christian church. So there's a lot of antichrists in our world, wouldn't you agree? There's a lot of antichrists. Next thing I want you to write down is this. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Matthew 24, 6 through 7a. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. I think it's vitally important to note that wars are not a sign of the end. Wars in and of themselves are not a sign of the end. There have always been wars in our world, right? There has always been wars in our world, and there will always be war in our world until Jesus returns. There is not going to be some catastrophic something happen in our world where everybody just has peace. There's always going to be war as long as God is here, as long as the church is here. There's always going to be war. I mean, come on. Every Christian that dies as a martyr, that's war, wouldn't you agree? It's war. It's a war against God's people, against God's word, against God. There have always been wars in the world. There will always be war until the very end. The final war, which is highlighted in, and called Armageddon, right, is found in the book of Revelation, Revelation 16:16. Then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. This final battle will be where sinful people will unite to fight against God in a final display of rebellion. Okay? They don't win, though. These people must be deceived. Right? That's all I can say is they must be deceived. I don't want my church family, I don't want the people that come into my life to be deceived in this life. Church, it will be in this battle that God will destroy evil once and for all. That's not what's happening right now. Okay? Vitally important to understand. I cannot tell you how many people have contacted me when things start to happen in the Middle East. Newsflash, they have always been at war. That has not changed, my friends. It has not. Wars in and of themselves, they do not announce the end of the age or the coming of Christ. They don't. Okay? Next thing I want you to write down, Jesus' words. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, right? Matthew 24, 7b through 8. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Now, I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to see that things in our world are becoming more and more frequent. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, you can look at the weather we've been having. It's like, man, yeah, it's pretty bad. It gets crazier and crazier, right? These are all signs of the birth pains, but they do not announce that the end of the age or the coming of the Lord is happening today. Okay? The reality is, my friends, these are signs that speak to the world of that judgment is coming. Judgment is coming, and it may even be beginning. Okay? We see these things getting more and more intense, indicating that the end is near. Okay? Now, near to me, near to you, and near to God, three different things. However, church, we have to admit that many of these signs have always been here. They've always been here, but as we see them getting more and more intense, we know that the coming of the Lord is near. Okay? Now, I'm not saying again, I'm not saying it's going to happen today or in a week or in a year or in 100 years. That's not what I'm here to tell you. But what I am saying is that every day we are getting closer to the day. Every day we are getting closer to the day that God ordained the end. The end, or maybe He ordained it to be the beginning for some of us. Next thing I want you to write down is this. The hate for Christians will grow stronger. It says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Christians have always been hated by the world. They have. That's what God's word says. If you are truly a Christian, if you truly walk in the ways of the Lord and you truly represent Christ in this world, the world hates you. Jesus said it would hate you. And it hates you because of Him. Okay? I've seen it firsthand in my own life. But Christians have always been hated by the world. But Jesus, He's given us this warning, right? He's giving a warning to His followers that a time in history is coming when Christians will be hated by and persecuted by all nations. They will be. Even right here in America. Christians will be hated and they will be persecuted by all nations. You will hear about Christians being martyred. You hear it all the time. It just happened last week. There was like 24 Christians martyred for their faith. Right? Not here in America, I get. But Jesus is talking about there will be an acceleration of persecutions and murders of God's people. But it won't just be in those Muslim countries that have a deep hatred for Christians. It will be everywhere. It will be everywhere. It'll be right here. It'll be right here in the good old country of America. And to some degree, we are already seeing a rise in persecution of Christians. Wouldn't you agree? We are. We're seeing it all the time. Christians have been labeled as terrorists. They've been labeled as racists. And they've been labeled as bigots. Right? They've been labeled as all these things. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some Christians and some Christian movements out there that bring those titles on themselves. Truly. I would question if they're following the same God I'm following. But that is not who I believe Jesus is talking about here. It is when the church is being the church that God has called it to be. To share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to love the way Christ has called us to love. It is the persecution of those Christians that will increase. Can you imagine being just like Jesus out in the world and being persecuted for it? Has anybody ever experienced that? I have. People don't like Christians. In all honesty, I would say there's a lot of people in our world that absolutely hate Christians. Now, maybe it's because of something they experienced in their church so long ago, or they see that pastor on that gets all the airtime on whatever news. Yeah, I don't even watch the news. God's got me watching the news again, but because I think I need to be in tune in the times for your sake. But maybe it's because of all those things, or a pastor that shouts from the rooftop God's condemnation, that everybody's going to hell because of the way they live, instead of going, you know what? In spite of the way you live, Jesus loves you and He wants to rescue you from that. You know? But when the church is being the church that Jesus has called us to be, sharing the gospel, loving everyone, loving them the way that Christ has called them to love, they're going to get persecuted for that. Now, it seems kind of strange to us, right? But the reality is, it's already here. It's already here. People are persecuting Christians for being true Christians. Don't want anything to do with you. Don't want you around. Don't want you to. Again, some of you have already experienced this persecution for your faith. But let me just tell you, as we get closer, it's going to get a whole lot worse. It can get a whole lot worse. Next thing I want you to write down is this. There will be worldwide chaos within God's family. Matthew 24:10-13, it says this. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now, God's word says that during this chaotic time here on earth, within the body of believers, that's the thing. Within the body of believers, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Now, I don't necessarily think this is talking about people leaving their faith in Jesus, necessarily. Rather, they are leaving the faith family. The faith family here on earth because of some religious man-made idea. Okay? So, some religious man-made ideas. I mean, just look at all the different denominations in our world today, right? There's a ton of them. If you study them, I don't even spend a lot of time on these. I got to focus on Christ. I got to focus on His Word. I don't need to know what every denomination believes these days. But I can tell you this, when I am in the midst of somebody of another denomination and the way they speak truth, their truth, and when it doesn't line up with the Word of God, we have a problem, right? We have a problem. That is what this chaos is becoming. This chaos is already happening, right? Enough said about that. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people, what Jesus says. False prophets and false teachers claim to receive a message from God. That's what they do. I received this message from God, but they preach about health and wealth. They teach about prosperity, right? They say that what people want to hear rather than God's truth. Okay? They do this so that they can have their kingdoms here on earth, I guess. So they can bring in as many people as possible. You know what? I'm starting to realize when you preach God's truth, normally it doesn't bring in the multitudes. And in the end, it won't do that either. If you stick to preaching God's truth, not health and wealth, prosperity, that's not at all God's word. If God wants to prosper you, He certainly can. And He certainly will. But not everybody gets that. I can testify to that. No, following God does not mean prosperity and health. It does not. Just think about this. When a world is doing things like legalizing abortion, legalizing same-sex marriage, letting a girl decide to be a boy and a boy decide to be a girl, you know, there's a problem, right? That is not God's word. But that's one thing. I mean, that's just a topic. You know what? If the government wants to do whatever they do, they do. But that should not be the way the church goes. You see, the problem becomes when the church, rather than standing on God's truth, no matter what it brings, no matter what turmoil it brings to that person, no matter what it does, whether this church family goes down to 10 people, you got to stand on the truth. But the reality is, rather than standing on God's truth in our world today, the church decides to embrace the cultural movement. A lot of denominations are saying, you know what? God's word just doesn't apply to this culture. Or, you know, God's word needs to get with the cultural times. Really? Is that what you're going to tell Jesus one day when you die and you meet Him face to face? Not at all. But rather than standing on God's truth in our world, you know, and maybe it's, oh, yeah, God will forgive us, whatever. They embrace cultural movement and they accept the things by changing God's word to justify their actions. You know what? There's so many pastors, there's so many pastors that are and singers and everything else that, man, God's just shining a light. You might want to get ready. God's shining a light in all these dark places, right? There's a whole lot of men and women who are here in the eyes of the world, right, that are coming crumbling down. You want to know why? Because they've compromised the Word of God to justify their actions. To justify that, you know what, I can't condemn them because I'm doing the same dang thing. It's a very, 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 very dangerous place to be, amen? God's truth and loving these people the way that God has called us to love that's what we should be doing. That's not what's happening in the world today. And these churches that are compromising the Word of God, these Christians who are compromising the Word of God, all you're doing is helping someone around you go to hell. That's all you're doing. Because the world around them is becoming so wicked. Here's the thing, though, that God's Word says that you need to see. Because the world around them is becoming so wicked, the love of most have grown cold. Is that you this morning? It's been me in the past. It has been. I am guilty. The love that God has shared with me has grown cold. There was a time when I became very judgmental, right? And I started going, there was a time when God would open a door. I'd walk through it because, man, it was a door from God. If somebody says, hey, Pastor, we'd love for you to come and share with these people. And I would do it every day, every week. It was who I was. It was who I was. If God put it on my heart to help a homeless guy standing on the street in Greenwood, I'd do it, no questions asked. But you know what happened over the years? The wickedness of the world has caused the heart to grow cold. We can't let that happen, church. You can't let the wickedness of the world, because it's going to get a whole lot worse. The world in which we live is going to get a whole lot worse. What you can't do, church, is let that wickedness cause your heart to grow cold, because the reality is I've missed out on a couple years of that phone call going, Pastor, we'd love for you to come and share with these people. Man, they have nothing. They're downtrodden. They just need to be inspired. They need to be encouraged. And I said, you know what? I did that for a long time, and they didn't seem to respond. So, you know what? I'm not going to waste my time doing that. The heart grows cold. It's happened to all of us. Your heart has grown cold because of the wickedness in our world. That's exactly what Jesus said it would do. I got news for you. We need to have a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. We need to be willing to love the unlovable. When God opens a door for you to go and share, whether it's to give a Bible or share a message or to love somebody through something, let me tell you something. When God opens that door, you need to walk through it. You leave the results to Him, my friends. But in these last days, however many days that's going to be, people need to hear God's truth. They need to hear the truth, and the Bible says they hear the truth, and the truth will set you free. And again, I get it. Yes, the world around us is going to get more and more wicked, but we cannot let that wickedness change who we are in Christ. Which leads to my last thing I want you to write down, my last scripture of today. I am to be prepared and be ready. There's a little message in your bulletins of what that ready icon those words stand for. I'd encourage you to check that out. But I want to read to you. This will just be a lead in to the next message in this sermon series. I am to be prepared and be ready. We know all these things are happening. Jesus said they're going to happen. Jesus said they're going to get worse. All these things are going to happen. But I am, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, I am to be prepared and be ready. Let me read to you 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11 says this. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Church, we probably a good chance we're going to die before the end comes. But maybe there's a chance that we might still be alive when the end comes. When Jesus, the trumpet sounds. But what should the church be doing? Should we be sitting here watching, oh yeah, this is happening, this happened? I'm not saying be ignorant, and I'm not saying put your head in the sand. What I'm saying is we should be doing what Jesus called us to do, and that is to live our lives as His representative. I am Christ's representative. We don't know when the end will be, but one thing I can say for sure is we're getting closer every day. Every day we're getting closer. Okay? I used to think it was really crazy when people would tell me, you know, I live like there's no tomorrow coming. I'm going, golly, that's a terrible way to live. I mean, every time I walk out the door, you think you're never going to see me again? That must be terrible. Is that not the way we should be living? Every day we get closer and closer to the day, whether it be that I breathe my last or the day that Jesus calls us home. You see, we would all agree also that things seem to be getting worse as time goes on. Can they get a whole lot worse? Absolutely. They can get a whole lot worse according to God's word. I don't think I've seen half of this stuff yet. You know what? I'm still preaching freely wherever I want. Right now? I mean, is that not true? You got in your car today and you were able to come here and walk through those church doors free. Worship wherever you want. Go to the church down the street. You can do whatever you want. But there will come a day when you won't get to do that. But knowing that that is coming, it shouldn't change who we are. It should actually cause us to embrace who we are in Christ more and more. Wouldn't you agree? You see, I got some news for you. I am not one that is always looking at the next catastrophe and then yelling from the rooftop, get ready, church. Today's the day. But I do think we need to listen to Jesus' words and take them seriously. He said there will be terrible times in the last days, and the church shouldn't just bury their heads in the sand. They need to stand up for truth. They need to start being about God's business. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, self-controlled, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Are we in the last days? They've been in the last days since Jesus was ascending into heaven. The way we should respond is no different from that day either. We'll talk more about this in the weeks ahead. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the salvation that we share. I thank you for the word that you've given us. I thank you for the strength and the empowerment that you give each and every one of us to live a life that's pleasing to you. And God, I know there are days when we all fall short. I fall short. And I can only imagine that is the way it is for my brothers and sisters this morning. But God, as we are living in these days today, help us to be your hands and feet and help us to truly share your gospel with each and every person that we encounter. God, I pray for your guidance and direction in the weeks ahead in how you would want to encourage and inspire your church family And I give this all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. If anybody would like, if you'd stand, if anybody would like special prayer, the shepherding team will be up front.